The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the weekend. Got a big weekend and a lot going on, and a lot of it centered around sports and weather. Paul, as we've mentioned, with this freeze and snowfall this week, the Laurel Highlands have had, in some cases, up to a foot of snow. And so you got ski season opening, and then it's going to warm up for a nice Steelers Sunday.
No issue on Sunday.
Yeah, which is really good. After the Steelers played the Browns on a Thursday night in Cleveland just a couple of weeks ago in that snow. There were two big snow games this year. One was the Steelers game, and the other was that Buffalo game on Sunday night with 49ers.
Yeah, but not the rematch. We're talking times of clouds and sun, high 47, perfect.
Yeah, so, and there are a bunch of shows, a lot of great movies. So, Light Up Night in Sewickley. You know, I attended that a few years ago, and I was shocked. I thought, okay, I was invited to, you know, MC. They have a stage, and then they have Food Truck Village and all the artisans. And I had no idea it was that big a deal down there in Sewickley for Light Up Night. So if you haven't been, it's a fun thing to do tonight.
Not only that, Larry, but the setting. I mean, the setting is just breathtaking there.
All right. You turned us on to a great story.
I love it when we find good news, because I don't get a chance to do as much good news as I would like.
Well, this is a unanimous decision by the U.S. House, and one of our representatives said this about what we're about to reveal for you today.
It is a special moment on the floor of the House. This is Congressman Chris DeLuzio.
He was the best of us. We will always have a special place for him in our hearts, in the hearts of Pirates fans and so many across our country.
And that is Roberto Clemente. And joining us first is the curator of the Clemente Museum in Lawrenceville in just a moment. And then we're going to talk to Roberto Clemente Jr. And we're waiting for him to call in, and he will in just a moment. For those that don't know, this museum is in the renovated Engine House 25, and it has the largest exhibit of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente, his teammates, his personal life, and his humanitarian causes, including, and this is where I found out, Roberto Clemente served as a United States Marine.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a photograph of him in a Marine uniform.
It was on, I think I might have shared it with you.
You did, yeah. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, he was tough, and now we know one of the reasons why. But, you know, when you have a life like that of service and also being a superstar in a professional sport, and you use what you have for good, there's got to be some way to commemorate a person, you know, in a lasting way. Something that doesn't just come and go, like a recognition, like one night, or, you know, it's like for example, a Hall of Famer, you'd get your name on the ring up there at the ballpark.
And
in the Ring of Honor, right?
Roberto once said, I'm convinced that God wanted me to be a baseball player. I was born to play baseball, and he used that platform to help so many other people. And joining us is the curator of the Roberto Clemente Museum, Dwayne Reeder. Dwayne, good morning.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And for those that don't know, Dwayne's late father-in-law was Bob Kuzma.
Oh.
At KDK TV. And my mentor when I took over after Bob retired to do television weather at KDKA. So I feel this half person from everybody kinship with Dwayne. But Dwayne, this is really exciting, and we didn't officially announce it yet. So they agreed to have a special commemoration of Roberto. We'll let you share it.
Yes, the U.S. government's going to mint some coins in different denomination. Yeah, they're going to be $5, $1. They're going to do some gold pieces, some silver. And once the expenses are all paid off, there's going to be proceeds going to the Clemente Foundation, which is pretty incredible.
It is. So it's a $5 gold coin, a $1 silver, and half-dollar coins bearing Clemente's likeness, and to your point, helping the Roberto Clemente Foundation. And just we were just there at this year's event, and they've continued the Clemente Sons in honor of their dad and mom, the great work, the humanitarian work that he did.
Yes. Yeah, they're doing some great things. So this will be incredible. It's pretty, it just puts Roberto on the map kind of nationally. You know, we all love him, you know, here in Pittsburgh. And we do get a lot of people coming to the museum from Puerto Rico and New York and Los Angeles. You know, we get people from all over, but this really will kind of put him in front of a lot of people that don't know the name, and hopefully we'll look him up and start, you know, diving into what he was doing and what he was all about, and hopefully get him to the museum someday.
Dwayne, this is Paul Rasmussen. I was just looking at the vote in the House, which was unanimous. Hard to get a bunch of politicians to agree on anything unanimously.
Yes.
It's going to the Senate next, so it's not a finished deal, but it would appear you would have to assume that it would be. And my question is, how long has this been in the works?
The boys have been working on it for years and years, and they've been lobbying politicians and talking to many people for years. Luis Clemente has been working really hard, and so it's pretty cool that it's finally there for a vote. And I think it will get passed through the Senate. And I don't know if you guys have heard that the Pennsylvania Senate voted to give us an RCAP grant to help build our elevator in the museum. And it was one of the only things, you know, all year that they could agree on was Roberto Clemente.
That's great.
And so, so Josh Shapiro pushed it on through. So we're getting an RCAP grant, and we're starting construction in January.
One way to look at it, by the way, in the Senate, Dwayne, is which U.S. senator wants to be known as the one who voted against this, right?
Roberto.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
Yes.
If I put a vote on Capitol Hill today and said, all right, we need a vote, is today Friday, there would probably be a couple that would say, well, no, it's not really. So the fact that this went unanimously in the House, I feel really good about the Senate, and it's one of the good things that our politicians, men, women, Republican, Democrat, Independent, can all agree on the greatness of Roberto, and you've captured that at this museum. How long have you been open now, Dwayne?
We had our grand opening in 2006, so we're coming up on 18 years. We're going to be, you know, celebrating 20 and 21 years here pretty soon with our new elevator. And we're going to have the elevator plan is to get us to the roof of the museum, where we're going to have a batting cage.
That's
and, you know,
slick.
I entertain the, you know, baseball players all the time, and it was their idea. They're always like in the museum swinging bats and stuff. And they're like, boy, if I could just hit a baseball right now. And I'm like, wait, what did you just say? I'm like, oh, give me a year or two. So we're building this elevator, to get, you know, of course, elderly and handicap and people, you know, up and down the steps. But
right.
If we're going to get to the roof where we have some more space, and then have a batting cage where we can get some MLB players teaching kids. And so that you know, that's what Roberto would want us to be doing, if we could teach the kids.
Well, and I know people right under your nose here, this is a wonderful, one-of-a-kind place to visit, the Roberto Clemente Museum, and you can schedule a tour and visit with Dwayne Reeder. And Dwayne, I appreciate your passion and what you've done for the Roberto Clemente family and in his honor, really, for the Pirates, for Pittsburgh. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Come see us. We got a lot of new stuff. We just acquired 2 new gold gloves. We're doing an exhibit this Saturday night. We open up an exhibit on baseball photographers, the Hall of Fame of baseball photographers. And you know I'm a photographer, Larry.
Yes, you are, and a great one.
We have the best photographs of the year we're going to show this Saturday night. And then Sunday we'll start this exhibit that we'll have open to the public. When you come on a tour, you'll be able to see works from Charles Conlin and Ozzie Sweet and Teenie Harris. We're featured pushing Teenie Harris, being a Pittsburgher and all. So we're always trying to add something new and, you know, things, because we get repeat customers that come all the time. And so we want to always be adding, you know, some new things and keeping it fresh. So come out and see us if you got 10 minutes.
Well, put a visit to the Clemente Museum on your schedule. Dwayne Reeder, thank you, brother.
You're welcome, Larry. Thank you.
And coming up next, we're going to talk to Roberto Clemente Jr. And he's got to be ecstatic and his brothers. 2 years ago, heard right here on KDK Radio, the legend Bob Prince calling Roberto Clemente's 3,000th hit. And joining us on the Big K Morning Show, Roberto Jr., who we have known over the years. And Roberto, I know you and your brothers are very happy today. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me again. Yes, we are very, very happy, very honored. At least the first stepping stone towards getting this U.S. Mint coin done. So we're very happy today.
Yeah, so the production would be a $5 gold, a $1 silver, and half-dollar coins, bearing your dad's likeness with the proceeds, helping the Roberto Clemente Foundation. So you and your brothers have carried on your dad and your mom's philanthropic heart with the foundation effort. For those that don't know, tell us the mission.
You know, continue to really drive that spirit of giving, of goodwill that my father and my mother both had. That's their legacy of who they were as human beings, not what they did, but in terms of being able to impact the world and humanity. So we have been really, Dad was the first, one of the first guys to be out there doing free baseball clinics for kids, and we do the same thing. We when there's a national disaster, we also gather and kind of wrap up the troops with the schools and getting some aid collected to be able to go out and really help in the times of need.
Roberto, Paul Rasmussen here. I was curious to know, asked Wayne at the museum a moment ago, how long ago did this idea come up and who came up with the idea?
Well, you know, the idea itself was not from our side. The idea had to be from an individual, someone that has not, it's not connected to the family or anything to do with Clemente. So an individual went to the U.S. Mint and actually wrote down the name Clemente for a U.S. coin to be honored. So I would love to see or know who it was so I can give him a hug and a kiss, right? because it has to. That's the way it goes. Dr. Brown called me a year and a half ago, and we had a extensive conversation of how this thing works. So we were able to figure out that someone had really wrote down the name Clemente for it to be slotted for the 2027 year for the U.S. Mint. And lo and behold, you know, here we are. We did some phone calls, and Representative Espaillat was able to champion it with, you know, a lot of passion and got it through.
We're with Roberto Clemente Jr., and it sounds like the next generation of Clemente II there with you, Roberto, right?
Yes, I have the 3-year-old. I just dropped off RC3 at school just now, the 6-year-old. I got the 3-year-old back behind me, and then I have the 4-month-old at home. Yep. So we're busy at home right now.
You got your hands full. That's good stuff. Well, It passed, as we mentioned, the U.S. House unanimously. I can't imagine it won't get a nod from the Senate, and it looks like this thing is truly going to happen. So we're very happy for you and the family, Roberto. And that said, you have a new documentary out about your dad. How can people see this? Is it out yet for us to see anywhere?
It is so close. It is very, very close to be able to be picked up and be able to be shown to the masses. I believe that this documentary is going to really shed light on quite a few things that people don't know about Dad, and a lot of fans globally love Clemente, even without understanding who he was completely as a human being. So we're very excited that this documentary is out. We already are talking about 2025 to start filming the actual feature film that is going to really tell this whole story in the big screen. So we're very excited that all these things are coming together at the same time, from the coin to the documentary to the movie. But for me, I think they're all stepping stones to my goal, which is actually I've been lobbying now for almost a couple of years now to have the first Hispanic national holiday, the month of August, to be for Dad and be able to have the kids, you know, be taken by the parents who are off that day from work to go to the ballpark and explain why they were off that day and explain that they're celebrating Clemente Day and who he was as a human being.
Well, we can't thank you enough for taking time. We're very excited for you and your brothers and all the Clemente fans. This coin's going to go through. Let us know when we can see the documentary, and good luck with the film. I've been championing this film for a long time, as you know. You got to make it happen.
Well, I tell you what, Larry, what we're going to do is you and I are going to sit down and we're going to watch it together. And then you can really talk about it.
That's fantastic.
So, how about that? So I'll call you this week and we'll make it happen.
All right. Have a great weekend and thank you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Roberto Clemente.
Well, that was the best 20 minutes of my week right there.
Oh, God. That's just fun. I mean, that's just good stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, I was so impressed by, you know, Roberto was a great baseball player by anybody's measure. But all the things that he has done and you don't know about, including just when I found out he's a United States Marine. He's one of only two in this region who are in the Marine Corps Athletic Hall of Fame. Roberto Clemente and John Banaszak, three-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers.
There's a trivia question. I had no idea.
How about that?
Yeah.
Major events of the year will be the U.S. Open coming back to Oakmont in June. And yesterday we found out about Billy Joel and Rod Stewart, one stage at Acrisure July 5th. So we got a big summer coming. And joining us is Tim Lloyd, who is the senior director of the U.S. Open Championship, and he joins us today from New York City. Tim, good morning.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm good. Not as good as you, but I know you're busy already because the planning efforts that go into U.S. Opens takes years, right?
Yeah, it does. We really are looking out, you know, 6 to 8 years in advance at least, but even further when we look at places like Oakmont where we've made long-term commitments to be back for several USGA championships.
And this is so exciting for the region. Oakmont, obviously, here and around the country is just legendary. The last U.S. Open here was, 2016? So we treasure when we have an opportunity to host one of these.
Yeah, and we likewise treasure being back there. It's such a cathedral of the game, and it's important for us to bring our championship to those types of properties.
So what takes you to New York City this weekend? I'm curious. Is this golf related?
Yeah, no, we're looking in advance. We've got the 2026 U.S. Open out at Shinnecock and the 2028 U.S. Open at Wingfoot. And so just like we were, you know, I had the fortune of traveling out to Pebble Beach for the 2027 U.S. Open last month. So we're just constantly looking ahead and trying to make sure that we're getting our plans in order. And, we typically go on sale with a hospitality program two and a half years ahead of time. So there's some lead time to get that packaging program built and ready. So it's just like we said, a several-year process. And so I'm in New York looking at some of our future sites this week.
Tim, this is Paul Rasmussen. I'm curious to know if there's, like, is there a rotation? I know that there are some very familiar names in the courses that you've just named. How do you guys go about selecting the sites for the Open?
First I'd say we'd never go anywhere we're not invited. We always have great relationships throughout the golf industry, and we host more than just the U.S. Open. You know, we host four professional championships a year, the Men's U.S. Open, Women's U.S. Open, Senior U.S. Open, and Senior Women's U.S. Open. But we also host several amateur championships as well. And with all those championships we host, we have a variety of relationships throughout the golf community. So, you know, I think that there's some that you'll, especially a place like Oakmont, where we are bringing a U.S. Open, but also Women's Open, Women's Amateur, Walker Cup, which is the amateur version of the Ryder Cup. And so I think that those relationships through the other championships as well really develop, you know, where we take all of our events. The U.S. Open specifically, we don't have a rotation necessarily, but we have identified anchor sites recently, which those being Pebble Beach, Pinehurst, and Oakmont are our three anchor sites. And we've done that so that we can look ahead and do things like we are at Oakmont, which is invest in infrastructure to support the championship for 20, 30, 50 years, as opposed to just coming in once every 10 years and thinking very much in that near-term way. We're thinking in a long-term way of how can we actually spend some money to invest, which pays off for itself over the long term.
And Tim, I know as we get ready to close out the year, I thought I wanted to invite you on because thinking ahead, this might be a good Christmas gift. What are the opportunities for us as fans to participate in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, no, appreciate you asking. We are on sale with tickets on usopen.com, and all of our ticket options are available there. There are single-day tickets available. They weren't available until recently. As of June this past year, we launched our weekly tickets, but now dailies are available. What I'd say generally for U.S. Open, even looking to the future, we have lots of opportunities to participate, whether it's a company looking for corporate hospitality or people who want to actually volunteer, where you sign up, you help us for four shifts throughout the week, whether it's, you know, helping with rope lines or driving some wheelchair carts or some of these other things. And that gets you access to the property throughout the entire week. So you can kind of enjoy it as a fan outside of those four shifts. And those volunteer positions were filled up very quickly. And so there currently are no more of those available for 2025. But as we look to the future, whether it's the 2028 Women's Open or the 2033 Men's Open, I would always encourage people to get ahead of it and think about volunteering. But as it stands for 2025, usopen.com, all of our ticket options are mostly still available, and that's the best way to get involved.
Larry, one other quick thing about the usopen.com, not only tickets, but also all kinds of gear. I'm looking right now at the men's clothing page. So if you want to get a gift that way,
feel free to get me one.
Sure.
I'd appreciate it, Paul. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great idea, actually, because you know how passionate we are about golf around here. So June 9th through the 15th, Oakmont Country Club, the 2025 U.S. Open. And Tim Lloyd, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us. And we hope to have you in as we get closer to the event early next year. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. There he is, Tim Lloyd in New York City, teeing it up.
And when you open up the first page, usopen.com, there's a beautiful picture of the clubhouse at Oakmont.
Yeah. Tim had a great tee shot there. I got to give it to him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Also going to be a big night in Sewickley. You know, I went there a couple of years ago, and their light-up night, I was stunned how many people show up. And joining me outside, his dog groomer, is the legendary concert promoter, Rich Engler. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you. Thank you. Gorgeous. The snow just enough to make it look wintry, and so excited about tonight.
Yeah, it looks like you won't have to deal with any snow or ice. So tell us about Light Up Night in Sewickley first.
Wow, okay. Yes. Well, it starts at 5 p.m. I have two big stages. The one on Broad Street will start at 5 o'clock with the Sweetwater Cottage Band and go into the Part-Time Cowboys at 6 o'clock. And at 7:15, Madam JoJo's Band. And then fireworks at 8:10 p.m., a big fireworks display. And right after that, I have Dancing Machine, the number one tribute to the Jacksons. So Janet Jackson, the Jacksons, and Michael Jackson, all the songs, and people will be partying in the street for sure. And then on the second stage over on Walnut Street is the kids' stage. I have the Infant All-Star Cheerleaders, Carol Leone, Bella School, and superstar singer Joe Birch will end the evening at 8:10 over there till 9 o'clock. Also, free carriage rides, multitude of food trucks and games and prizes, and just a fun event.
Yeah, and it's free to come to.
My favorite four-letter word that starts with F, free.
In Sewickley tonight. That said, want to get your reaction. I heard at Acrisure they're having Billy Joel and Rod Stewart. You've promoted both of those over the years. They're great acts, and to have them together is a big deal.
Oh, very big deal. That's going to be a great show. I'm wondering who's going to fight for the ending spot.
Oh, that's right. They'd have to
figure out. They'll probably alternate songs or something like that.
Yeah, flip a coin. They're both superstar acts. And then next Wednesday at the Benedum, formerly known the Stanley Theater, this is, it's unbelievable, the last show of another fork in the road, 50th anniversary of Kansas, which you started this 50 years ago with these guys. Tell us how it happened that they came on the national scene in a big way, and it started here in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's a funny story. I was able to get Queen, which I was really fighting for. They were coming over from London. I lock up Queen, Styx, a new band called Styx, and a new band called Kansas, because I didn't need anybody fancy on there because I had Queen. The night of the show, Freddie has a fight with John Reed, his manager, and cancels at the last minute. So I go to these two bands and I go, hey, I'll give you extra money, play a little longer. They go, hey, we're here, let's go. And then Kansas just, well, both bands blew them away, but Kansas really blew them away. Because I got the radio stations to go on that song, Can I Tell You? And ever since that, the response to them, I start booking them at colleges and everywhere, Johnstown, Erie, Wheeling, all these places. And before you know it, I took them to the Civic Arena for two nights, did 36,000 people and broke Elvis Presley's two-night record at the arena. And you don't have to say much more than that. This band and I, actually the band is in my documentary Behind the Stage Door of their testimonial of our relationship. So I can't wait for Wednesday.
Well, it's going to be a big night at the Benedum Wednesday at 7:30. And of course, you're also, and I'll be headed to Bradenton next week at invitation of Elliot Falcioni down there. You know, great relationship. You produce their shows they have on Anna Maria Island, starting with next Saturday night, Sheena Easton, and then you got a list of great acts.
Absolutely, and follow it up with Bob Marley's Wailers in December, and in January, The Doors, starring Robbie Krieger, founding member, and fortunately still living, and looking forward to that, and then follow it up in March with the Moody Blues, John Lodge, and the infamous String Dusters in April. So it's a great and big lineup, and we always sell all those shows sell out down there because it's such a unique facility, and people just love it.
As Neil Young said, Russ never sleeps, and neither does Rich Engler. Rich,
well, don't forget also on the 12th, which is right after the Kansas show, I'm going to be down at Point Park University at 5 p.m. doing a speech Q&A talking about Behind the Stage Door book and the film. and a Q&A moderated by Ed Travisseri, no other. And I think the tickets are only $10. So if you go to Point Park website, you'll be able to pick them up. I would like to see everybody down there.
Well, good luck tonight in Sewickley.
That have been untold.
At Light Up Night. Rich Engler, thank you, brother.
All right. Take care. See ya.
And also that show next July with a preview, KDK TV's Ricky Sayer.
One, two, three, four.
Sing us a song, you're a piano man.
Two of the biggest names in music are set to share the stage next summer at Acrisure.
Two music icons are coming to Pittsburgh.
Steelers coach Mike Tomlin.
Don't miss it, Steeler Nation.
And tight end Pat Freiermuth.
I actually grew up on Billy Joel music.
Helped announce the one-of-a-kind show July 5th.
The Piano Man and Sir Rod Stewart is a concert experience I cannot wait to share with my family, friends, teammates, and most of all, Steelers Nation.
KDK's Bob Pompiani was also on hand to help unveil ceremonial Billy Joel and Rod Stewart Steelers jerseys.
We are here to talk about one of the best concerts you're going to see all season long.
Already scheduled at Acrisure next summer is an AC/DC concert. July's concert will be the first time Billy Joel and Rod Stewart have been in Pittsburgh together. Before leaving the stage, Freiermuth shared the special reason he was tapped to be part of the announcement.
My parents, when they were dating, went to a Billy Joel concert.
And were engaged shortly after.
So see, romantic interludes there for the Freiermuth family. That's how it all started. And without that night, there would be no Pat Freiermuth probably down the road. Think about that. That's important.
Go ahead with- Tickets go on sale Friday, December 13th. Reporting on the North Shore, Ricky Sayer, KDK TV News.
Well, there you go. And you have an update?
Well, I mean, if you're planning to go and you want to get some parking taken care of, we have an interview from earlier with Merrill Stabile, and we'll have a clip from him on how you can go about it.
Outstanding.